Good morning. My name is John Calder and I'm minister in Ballysally Presbyterian Church in Coleraine. Can I say it's a great privilege for me to be able to join with you in Ballywellan in worship this morning, even if it is only virtually. I'm delighted to be able to have the opportunity to worship with you and to open the Word of God with you this morning. I want to say thanks to Stephen for his invitation. It's great to be here, and I want to say thanks to Stephen because he's going to be sharing the gospel with us in Ballysally. So thanks, Stephen, for your invitation and for your ministry among our people. As we come to consider God's word now, let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, the Bible, and we thank you for the promise of your Spirit to be our teacher. Come now by your Spirit, we pray. Help us to grow in understanding and to grow in our ability to put into practice these things that you call us to do. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of us are familiar with Jonesy from Dad's Army and his famous catchphrase, "Don't panic, don't panic." And of course, Jonesy's always in a state of full-blown panic when he's running around telling everybody else not to panic. I guess some of us are more susceptible to panic than others. But I've no doubt that all of us are experiencing heightened levels of anxiety in these days. Since coronavirus has swept across the world, bringing disease and death and lockdown in its wake, we've all experienced a greater degree of anxiety, and we've all had to learn to cope with anxiety in our daily lives. Anxiety includes feelings of unease, of restlessness, a sense of being on edge, a sense of impending danger, or a dread of what might happen next. Anxiety affects our concentration. It affects our sleep patterns. It makes us more irritable. At least that's what my wife Lynn tells me. Anxiety can cause headaches, shoulder tension, upset tummies, increased heart rate, shortness of breath, and in more extreme cases, panic attacks. And there's a lot of really useful, helpful advice out there, which, when we put it into action, really does make a difference. It's helpful to take regular exercise. It's helpful to maintain a good routine, to eat sensibly, to avoid alcohol and drugs. It's really helpful to reduce our exposure to TV news or to social media. I've been trying to put that into effect in my own life with varying degrees of success. I was feeling very down in the dumps over a couple of days and wondering what that was all about when I suddenly realised I hadn't been out for a walk for nearly a week. So the advice is really good, but of course you have to put it into practice for it to make any difference for you. And in some cases, we need to speak to our doctor when anxiety really crowds in us and threatens to overwhelm us. It's good to go and speak to the doctor and maybe to get some additional help. All of these helps are really good for us, and I want to commend them to you. But this morning, I want to think specifically about two things that the Apostle Paul teaches us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. These things that Paul says, well, if we put them into practice in our lives, help us to respond to the buildup of anxiety in our lives. But first of all, a wee bit of background about Paul. Paul is no stranger to the conditions which produce anxiety. As he writes this letter, he's most likely in lockdown, under house arrest in Rome. And he's in fear for his life. The threat of execution is looming large in the background. He's writing to the church in Philippi, a church he knows, and to people that he loves. And he's writing to them because of challenges and difficulties in their church life. Paul, with his pastor's heart, feels a burden for this church because they're at odds with one another. They're divided. And he wants to try and help them to live out of the unity that's theirs in Jesus Christ. And he's also experiencing difficulties because of the activities of certain Christians in Rome. They are believers, but they're not supporters of Paul. And some of their activities are specifically designed to cause trouble for him. And so as he sits down to write this letter, There are lots of anxiety-producing situations that he finds himself in the midst of. And in the past 20 years, he's experienced all kinds of challenges and difficulties. He's been attacked by crowds in the marketplace. He's been stoned at the instigation of religious authorities. He's been beaten with rods and whipped by the civil authorities. He's been imprisoned. He's been shipwrecked. And he's been the subject of numerous threats on his life. Paul knows all about anxiety-producing circumstances. And he writes these words in Philippians chapter 4 out of a substantial experience of confronting anxiety in difficult situations. Paul knows what he's talking about. And the first thing he says is rejoice in the Lord no matter what your circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord no matter what your circumstances. Generally speaking, joy is a good feeling, an emotion of happiness, of gladness, and of delight. And that feeling of joy, that sense of joy, comes from a sense of well-being, from having achieved some successes, or from experiencing beneficial circumstances. The feeling of happiness comes from good happenings. But in Philippians 4 verse 4, Paul wants to move the focus away from our happenings, from our circumstances, to something much more solid and steady. He wants to lay a foundation which is much more reliable. And so Paul says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Look to the Lord for your joy. Find your joy in him. What does that mean? How would you do that in everyday life? Well, it means taking some time to choose to bring to mind what you know about the Lord and to delight in him as he reveals himself. It takes time and it takes a wee bit of effort. We make a choice to remember what we know about the Lord. For example, you might take some time and think about and reflect on God's character and what that means for us. As we think of the Lord, he's loving, he's patient, he's kind, he's generous, he's forgiving, he's faithful, he's reliable, he's holy. And as we remember what he's like, then we remember too that's how he relates to us. We're on the receiving end of that love. We experience his patience, his generosity, his kindness. And as we remember that he's the sovereign Lord, the one who's fulfilling his purposes in the world, and that we're caught up with him in his purposes, that we're in his faithful hands as he works out his purposes, then that gives us confidence, that produces joy, a response of joy, to know that we're kept safe by him. When we think that he's God Almighty, whose power is unsurpassed and irresistible, and that our safety and security are in his care, then we're able to rejoice, no matter what our circumstances. To think on who God is and what he's doing gives us confidence, gives us reassurance, produces joy in our lives. And he's the God of grace. He's the one who doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but treats us according to his great kindness. He's the one who casts our sins into the depths of the deepest sea to remember them no more. He's the one who, having given his own son over to death on the cross for our sake, is hardly likely to hold anything else back. If he's given us his most precious gift, he's hardly likely to skimp on anything else. And so as we take the time and make the effort to rejoice in the Lord, to find our joy in the Lord, our joy becomes much more buoyant. If you've ever tried to push a beach ball under the water at the swimming pool or by the seaside, you know how difficult that is. The beach ball keeps popping up again. It can't be held down. And when we locate our joy in the Lord, our joy is hard to keep down. It's never far from the surface. It's always popping up here or there because of the foundation that it's laid on. It's based on something steady and unchanging. The character, the grace, the ongoing work of God. And because that's where the foundations for our joy are, then we're able to experience joy even when we're sad. Seems unlikely, and yet it's true. We're able to experience joy even when we're anxious. We're able to experience joy even when we're afraid, because we rejoice in the Lord. Our joy comes from Him. Our joy is based on what He's like and how He treats us and what He's planned for us in this life and in eternity. Now, undoubtedly, our circumstances will continue to impact our mood. Our circumstances will continue to have an effect on our sense of well-being. And our circumstances will continue to produce anxious thoughts, which at times can crowd in us and threaten to overwhelm us. But when we take the time to rejoice in the Lord, calling to mind who He is and what He's doing, then we find that that's a really effective antidote to anxiety. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And the second thing that Paul says in verse 6 seemed to me for a very long time to be a daft thing to say. I didn't understand what Paul was getting at. I've heard a few daft things during my life. My mum used to say to me, John, do you want a good smack around the legs? Let me think about that for a second. Do you know what, Mum? I don't think it'll bother. If I dared to say a thing like that, I would have got another smack around the legs. My favourite saying is that old apocryphal saying where this lady's trying to discipline her son. He's climbing on the fence, and she said to him, get down off that fence. You're going to hurt yourself. Get off that fence. Until finally exasperated, she blows up and she says, if you fall and break your legs, don't come running to me. I really hope somebody really did say that, but I'm not sure. Paul, I had him in the daft category for what he says in verse 6. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Sure, that's like saying to somebody, don't be thirsty or don't be tired. How can you say to somebody, don't be anxious? How are you supposed to just stop being anxious? Well, of course you can't. You can't prevent your anxious feelings or thoughts just simply by determining that you won't have them, by deciding that you won't be anxious. You can try and bat them away when they come, or you can try and distract yourself from them by thinking about something else or by doing something else. But you don't have command of those feelings of anxiety. And I don't think that's what Paul's saying here anyway. I think when he says in verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I think he's saying in effect, when anxious feelings come, when anxious thoughts crowd in on you, turn those anxious thoughts into points for prayer. And when you pray, give thanks. Don't give thanks for the difficult situation. Don't give thanks for the challenges. But give thanks for God's presence with you in the midst of them. Give thanks that God has helped you in days gone by and can be trusted to help you in this day of trouble. Give thanks for the great promises that He makes and that we can rely on. So come with a grateful heart and make your cares and concerns known to the Lord. Turn your anxious thoughts into points for prayer. Present them to the Lord. Lay them out and ask the Lord for His help. Now, you could ruminate on them, and we've all done that. And you could allow their negativity and their fear to pull your mood down. And we all know something of that, don't we? You could speculate unhelpfully about what's going to happen next, and we've done that too. Or you could give in to feelings of helplessness and hopelessness and despair. But Paul calls us to a much more positive response. Paul says, turn your anxieties into points for prayer. Bring those worries, those cares, those concerns to the Lord. Ask for His help. Ask for His intervention. Ask Him to give you His wisdom according to His great promise. Ask for His transformational power to be let loose in you and in your situation. It's so easy to feel overwhelmed in a crisis situation, because everything seems like it's running out of control. But the key in a crisis situation is to remember that God is in control, and that although not everything is within your control, some things are. And there's nothing outside of God's control. There's one thing that you can do. You can pray. You can ask for help. You can believe that God knows you and that because he loves you, he will come to your aid. You can believe that he hears your prayer and that he will respond according to his great wisdom and his mighty power. Now that's a lot easier to say than to do, isn't it? It's challenging to be able to put these things into practice, to respond in this way. You typically have to keep doing it as anxious thoughts keep coming to you. It's a bit like playing whack-a-mole. As the anxious thoughts come, you need to turn them back to the Lord in prayer, and then they come again and you must turn them back to the Lord in prayer, and then they'll come again and you must turn them back to the Lord in prayer. But as you keep doing this, as you keep working at this, as you refuse to give up, you will discover in increasing measure the peace of God in your life, that peace that God, that Paul talks about in verse 7. God's peace is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit's presence in us. It's that peace is a growing and sustaining confidence in God's good and wise control of your life and his world. And we express our confidence as we turn to the Lord in prayer with all of the anxieties and cares that we have, as we offer those to God along with our gratitude and our thanksgiving. Anxiety is part and parcel of everyday life, and anxiety is in no small measure in these particular days of trouble that we find ourselves, and none of us can escape it. But we can become better at responding to it, and we can learn to cope with anxiety in more productive ways. Paul calls us to rejoice in the Lord, to look to the Lord and find our joy in him rather than depending on our circumstances. And Paul calls us to turn our anxious thoughts and feelings into points for prayer and to bring them before the Lord who loves us, who is committed to us, and who is determined to walk with us and exercise his grace in our lives. The one who will, in his own time, bring us safely home. I hope and pray that in these days, in increasing measure, you will experience joy and peace in your life as you turn again to the Lord.